Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, comedian Wendy Liebman talks all about coincidences.
I almost drowned on a canoe trip at Camp Triworthy because the water was rushing. It should have taken us a day to get down this river, but it took us an hour. And the boat I was in capsized. I might not have really drowned, but I felt like I was going to drown. Years later, found this guy. His name was Steve. It was the same name as the guy in the boat. So I wrote him. I said, by the way, did you go to Camp Triworthy in 1976? Yes, I went to Camp Triworthy, but I don't remember you. So I was like drowning all over again.
Today on the show, the amazing Wendy Liebman talks all about coincidences. Stay close.
Hey, it's Wendy Liebman, and you are so lucky because you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming from Los Angeles, California. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or of over 10 years, or you're a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. I am so happy you guys are here today, and I hope you listened to the show last week with comedian Judy Gold. Judy Gold, by the way, Wendy, that's another person who I love so much, and I had never had her on the show. I never met her before. Right. So I also just read her book, and she talks about you. She does like three or four. She does like three or four of your jokes, right?
Yes. I think she's three from a bunch of people.
I love that book so much. It should be required reading. It really should be required reading.
I haven't read it yet. I have it, and I can't wait to read it. And I love Judy so much.
She's amazing. The name of the book is Yes, I Can Say That. When They Come for the Comedians, We're All in Trouble. Basically, it's a book about censorship. And she goes through the history like nobody's ever done before. And it's funny because, like, if you would talk about comedians and censorship, you would throw out the names, right? You would say, well, George Carlin did this or Bill Hicks did this, and you would name them, but it might get scattered. Well, here we are, Judy Gold, put it all down on paper. And now it's like a complete, thorough understanding and history of censorship and of comedians. And she specifically talks about not just female comedians, of course, everybody, but she gives a lot of examples of female comedians' jokes. And they're all so funny. And you know what I love so much about the book? Let's say she mentions 20 people's jokes or whatever. She has them written down. I finished about 15 of those jokes before I finished the reading them. Do you know what I mean? Because they're classic jokes. Right. They're classic jokes. Like, you know, just jokes from Judy Tenuta to Paula Poundstone to you, Wendy. And she just quotes so many people. And it's just a really terrific book. So you guys, read it. It took me 2 days to read it. Very fast.
Judy is my spirit animal.
She is so special. She really is. Yeah. And we had a wonderful conversation. The title of her show was Coming Out. And, you know, sadly, her story is so fucking sad about her coming out. It just, I was crushed. I was like,
oh. I don't know that story. I've seen her other shows about wanting to have a sitcom. And, you know, she has a show about Jewish mothers. And,
right.
But I just remember her saying that her dad once said, which one of you is the guy? And she's like, Dad, that's the point. Neither one of us is the guy.
Yeah, she is just terrific. But her coming out story is quite, it's, you know, because it was a while ago and hopefully things have changed somewhat, for God's sakes. But it was just so antiquated, the way her sister treated her, the way her parents treated her. It was just terrible, terrible.
I'm coming out as a Hollywood liberal. Well, Hollywood adjacent. Well, liberal.
Oh, my God. I am so happy you're here today, Wendy, because like I said, I've wanted to talk to you for so long. And your topic that you bring to the table today is coincidences. And there are a lot of coincidences, obviously, that happened.
So many coincidences in my life. The older I get, the more my life ties together.
it's the fabric of our lives. There's something about weaving. And I think Gordon Lightfoot wrote a song. I don't know. Somebody did.
Well, one time my husband and I were buying something at a bookstore. And as she was ringing it up, the woman says, "Do you want to buy this book?" And it was called The Pop-Up Book of Phobias. And it was like an adult book, but like a pop-up book. And you would turn the page and a dentist drill would appear, or a spider, or a tall building. And we were like, "No, that's nice." It was $25, whatever. And then the very next day we flew to New Jersey, Hasbrook Heights, to a club called Bananas. And the guy who was opening for me, I said, "How long have you been doing comedy?" He said, 8 years. "But I also just wrote a book called The Pop-Up Book of Phobias." And my husband and I were like, "What the
That is unbelievable. That is so that is really amazing.
So I have five of these stories about coincidences.
Oh my gosh. Well, I can't wait. Yeah, that one alone is crazy. It does seem that the older we get, well, obviously, right? The smarter we get, and we can see things better in perspective, obviously. Like, I have a 13-year-old, and when I see her angst, you know, because she's 13, and when I see her struggling or I see something, you know, I feel for her. I mean, on one hand, I want to say, "You little bitch, you know, what are you doing?" You know, or, you know, I want to get mad. But on the other hand, I see it. I see it because I remember being 13.
Well, whenever my stepsons feel angst about a relationship, I go, "Look, I didn't meet your dad until I was 38. So just chill and have a good time and don't get anybody pregnant."
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true.
I never had my own kids. I couldn't, according to my lease. But am I allowed to make jokes?
Of course.
Okay.
Wendy, I got to tell you. Okay, so you judged Story Smash a couple of times at the Improv. Oh, those were the days. Actually, we're playing now on Sunday nights as well. We're playing virtually.
I saw.
You have to come on and judge.
Okay, absolutely.
Forget about it. Danny Zucker, Blanket Patch, hilarious. These guys are just so funny. But when you have been a judge on Story Smash, I honestly can tell you, out of, say, I've had, let's say, 80 judges or 100, whatever, you have told more jokes in the shortest amount of time than anybody I've ever had on.
Really?
Because, Wendy, I don't know how you do it, but you just keep tagging and tagging. And that is that kind of your thing?
So annoying.
No, is that though your thing?
Well, I started in Boston, and I would watch Kevin Meaney, the late great Kevin Meaney, and Jonathan Katz and Brian Kiley, who is Conan O'Brien's head writer now, and Don Gavin, and they would always keep the ball rolling somehow. And I thought, I want to do that, because I think that you learn from the people that you're around in whatever art you're in. And I remember being on stage once, and there was a lull, and I thought, I don't want to be here in silence. So I just added another joke, and I guess that became my style. But, you know, Ellen was doing it too. And Kevin Nealon.
Yeah.
So I can't really claim it as my own style.
No, I know, but it's stunning how many jokes, in terms of, it's obvious that your mind is working a little quicker than other people's minds. Now, all comedians, obviously, they're all smart, because you can't be funny if you're not very smart, in my opinion, you know, because you got to have that thought process going faster than other people. And sometimes if you meet comedy writers or comedians, you can literally see them thinking about not what you're saying now, but what you just said, so they can get it tied in. You could see a comedian's brain working. I don't see the magic that you do, Wendy. I can't see it, but you are obviously thinking ahead. Or do you think of two jokes at a time and then space them out properly? Or is the next tag coming? You don't even know it's coming, and then it comes.
I can't answer that except to say I'm exhausted.
No, but I mean, because you tag, I'm saying like, it's not just in your bits. Like obviously your bits, you have things thought out, written out, and this is how you do it in a big, on a big stage. But I'm talking about like when you're on Story Smash, obviously it's completely improvised. You have no idea what's coming.
Well, I feel like I'm the funniest when I'm around funny people. So when Danny is there, it's like I'm volley, like I want to play with him. And so it's, I guess it's trying to match wits. But yes, I am always funniest around like Jimmy Pardo, who's hilarious.
Forget it.
And I think part of that is the audience likes to see when you're in the moment. And the best at that is, well, there are two great comedians that I can think of, Paula Poundstone and Russell Peters. Wow. And they just are in the moment. And the audience likes that because they then realize you're not just doing a script. Mm-hmm. You're like, think you're the funny brain.
Yes, you're the one in the room.
You're the leader.
Yeah, you're the one who's entertaining. You have the microphone.
Right.
Now, honestly, doing Story Smash, as the host, it's a little bit hard to know when to step the fuck back and let these people do what they do, which is be funny. So I watch people, you know, like when you're listening to the stories, I'm looking at the judges thinking about who am I discerning wants to jump at that? And then I call on that person, you know, that's what I try to do. But then, like you said, if you guys start bantering, I just so badly want to pack up. Like I don't, you know, but it's hard because I'm not sure. That's also very much being in the moment.
Well, you're like the conductor.
Yeah.
You have to figure out which instrument to play.
The facilitator. Yeah.
It's yeah. But that's a skill too. Yeah.
Yeah. So 2 years ago on Story Smash at the Improv, Larry King was a judge. Did you know that?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Larry King was on stage with Wendy McLennan-Covey and Danny Zucker, right? So Danny's sitting in his regular seat. Wendy's in the middle. Larry's next to the wheel. So in the middle of the show, Larry King's phone goes off. And he pulls out his cell phone, which is a flip phone. Of course it is. And he says, hello. And so I just took the mic and I go, ladies and gentlemen, Larry King is taking a call. And he's going, I can't talk. I'm on a stage. I can't talk. You know, it was so funny. It was awesome. He was just so great. And but that's one of those moments where I got to let that play because there's nothing funnier than Larry King using a flip phone.
Well, I met him once. I was doing a show for Lacey Peterson.
Mm, wow.
For her, yeah. I mean, it was for her foundation.
Memorial, yeah.
And Larry King hosted. And he was so kind.
I love him.
And the only time that somebody ever threw something at me on stage was somebody's phone was ringing. And I said, is it for me? And they threw me the phone.
Did you answer it?
I did. It was my parole officer. But you know what? That was a non sequitur. That had nothing to do with Larry King. I love Larry King. He was so sweet. And somebody once hauled a flip phone at me.
And Larry King was present.
Not that time. It was him. It was him on the phone.
He's a great guy. I love him so much. And it's, you know, this quarantine is hard because he's got his two sons with him. You know, he divorced his wife again.
I read that.
The seventh, yeah. And so I'm like, God bless you.
Seventh wife?
Yeah. Yeah. And anyway, he and I have developed a little friendship. And he's been on Storyworthy like 3 times. I love him.
That's awesome. My celebrity friendship is Dear Abby.
Get out of here.
I once was hosting a benefit for the D.D. Hirsch Mental Health Center, and she was one of the speakers. Her name is Jeannie Phillips.
Is that right?
And this was about 7 years ago. And so since then, she came to every one of my shows that I produced at Vitello's in Studio City, my locally grown series.
Yeah.
And yeah, she's a wonderful person. I love her so much.
Now, how old is she now? In her 90s?
She's in her 70s. It was her mother who was the original Dear Abby, but her mother passed her the torch, and she's been writing the column for like 30 years.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Because I remember, I never didn't read Dear Abby. Like I read that. I mean, back then, we all got the newspaper every day, of course. And I would read specifically the comics. Yeah, of course. And I had my favorites. Remember, you'd go, like, I'd say, okay, I go from Nancy to Drabble, then over, of course, the Peanuts, who remain my favorite. And then I would go to the Dear Abby section, and then I'd go to the entertainment section or whatever. You know, in Pittsburgh, it was quite thin, I'll tell you that. But Dear Abby, I always read that. Like, that was solid information.
You know, Peanuts, I hate that the MetLife people took over the Peanuts. Yeah. I love the Peanuts.
But they sold it. I mean, they let that happen.
Yeah, I know. I love Pittsburgh, too, by the way.
Do you?
I performed there, yes. And I have, like, a soft spot in my heart for Pittsburgh.
They're such good people, really. Like, they'll give you the shirt off their back. It'll be a Steelers shirt, but still, you would be able to wear it.
No, but the nicest people in the country have been in Pittsburgh and Kansas City.
Interesting.
Who knows why? Yeah.
Now, I have met an awful lot of people out here from Pittsburgh in LA, and they are all good people. Like, immediately, we bond. You know, like, automatically, I can trust them. I know that. You know, it's kind of crazy how that is. But I also feel that about people from Boston, because I just know so many people from Boston because of that whole Emerson thing, right?
Is that where you went?
No, but everybody else in LA seems to have.
Oh, because I went to school in Boston, but I didn't go to Emerson. I went to IOU. No, I went to Wellesley.
Wellesley, that's IOU. Wellesley is very like fancy, isn't it? Like collegiate? Is that what you
thought? Not really. I mean, it's a Seven Sister school, and I didn't appreciate it at the time, I don't think. I wish I could go there now. It was so beautiful.
What does it mean, Seven Sisters?
It's an all-women's college, Wellesley.
Did you know that when you went there?
Oh, yeah. That would have been a shocker.
Why did you choose that? I'm just curious.
It was the best school I got into. My mother had gone there. And I took my sophomore year at Wesleyan, and knowing that I was going to come back to Wellesley, it was called the exchange program.
Was it only with colleges with Wells in the title?
Yes. But so I went to Wesleyan for 1 year, and I met this woman who was visiting a friend on my floor. For 8 seconds, I met this woman. And then 20 years later, I see her again at Caroline's in Manhattan. Yeah. And I said, did you visit somebody named Gigi at Wesleyan in 1980? And she goes, yeah. And it was Amy Stiller.
Oh, my God. That is crazy.
And so since then, we've been really good friends. And I feel like that's why I went to Wesleyan, so I could have met
her,
Amy. Yes,
that is so interesting. Boy, that's another coincidence.
It is. My life is full of them.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. Well, we're going to get your story in a second here, but I did want to ask you also about the Vitello's gig, because that's a great gig. I haven't been there. I mean, I've been there, not for your show, unfortunately, because it's always on a school night with my child, and I could never, because it's a Tuesday, right? Or Monday.
Yes, it's once a month on a Tuesday,
right? So that always kind of, but I know the gig, I mean, I know the space is so terrific, and you get to walk past that booth where Robert Blake hid his gun before he shot his wife. So it's kind of cool, right?
Well, it's famous for that. And then apparently after that happened, they put the restaurant up for sale. And the real estate agent was like, we can't sell Vitello. So he bought it, Matt Epstein, and he renovated it, kept the name because it was such a mainstay.
Oh, yeah.
And one day I walked in, and I lived around the corner, and I said, can I do you want to do a comedy show here? And it was just the right timing.
Wow.
Because the music had been bothering the neighbors, and they had to soundproof that room. And so in the meantime, they let me do the show there. And then 5 years later, we were still doing it before the pandemic.
Wow, I think that's great. Would you want to keep doing it virtually? I mean, obviously, you know, I'm doing a storytelling show on Sunday nights, and people were kind of getting creative or innovative about, you know, making something happen.
I've been doing like Zoom. I've done about 20 Zoom shows. And, you know, it's just another skill that as a comedian, we have to learn how to do press on the road. We have to learn how to travel. And so I just figured this is just one more skill to do. And it's a little challenging, but I'm getting the hang of it. And I thought maybe I'll do locally grown.
I think it'd be great.
Online. You do?
I'll help you. The good news is, and it's really exciting, I'm getting people to my show Sunday nights, The Story Worthy Hour of Power, from Spain, from Australia, different time zones. I've had people on from London. I've had people on, you know, even just in Arizona, New York, you know, but it's such a treat. It's opened up that whole nother. It's kind of cool.
Reach farther. It's more international. But how many people in the audience?
The numbers have varied. 62, 64, 69. The highest was 89, 74, 72.
Wow.
Sticking in that number, I know, but I want it to grow further, clearly. But now if there's over 100 people, I got to pay more money.
That was my question. Like if you have over, okay. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
But it's really interesting. No, I'm just saying like you said, you know, we're all learning and in a way, entertainment has been leveled. The playing field has been leveled because either people are going to step up or they're not. You know, they're either going to keep going or they're just going to kind of watch other people. And I don't know. I think the real entertainers like yourself, you'll do it. Because you have to.
Well, it feels like the people who have jokes instead of or who are more, I don't know, the joke, like I keep thinking about Jimmy Brogan, who talks to the audience the whole time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's doing Zoom shows yet.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's more challenging.
It is more challenging. I'm doing one tonight and I haven't done any comedy in like 2 weeks. And it's like 7 minutes. And the challenge I've had on Zoom is, you know, because I'm just like staring at the camera and I'm talking. And of course, nothing's going on. You know, around me, can't hear anything. And so you're just like, if this is failing, fair enough. But this is
I know. It's very weird. Like some shows I've done, you can hear the audience. You can hear some of the audience. You can only hear the dishes clanging in the background.
I know. That's the other thing. I started my show on the regular Zoom, but you would hear toilets flushing and stuff.
Right. You'll have to do my show when I do it.
Oh, I'll do it in a minute. I think that'd be a blast. I would just love it. And there's another good show out there I think you would really love, Wendy. That would be fun that you'd like it. It's called The Liars Club with Felicia Michaels.
Oh.
You tell two stories. One is true. One is false. And then they decide which is true and which is false.
Right.
I'll hook you with Felicia because it's so funny. It's a comedy store show. They've been doing it in the comedy store has like this podcasting studio or they, you know, pre-pandemic.
Right.
Now they're doing it on Zoom. It's very funny. It's very
well,
funny.
She's great.
Oh, she's stellar.
Felicia. I did a show on for Lean In, which was Karen Berggren and Cora Kahaney.
Okay.
And I did the one lie to, or there were two real stories and one lie.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Can I tell you my story and you tell me if it was real or not?
Oh, yeah. I want to know. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't really know what my demographic is, but I do know that I have been recognized by 4 homeless people. And 2 were in LA, 1 was in New Haven, and the last one was in San Jose. And I was walking to my gig in San Jose, and I see a guy sitting on a cardboard box, in a cardboard box, and he goes, "I saw you on TV." And I'm like, "Oh, thank you." I'm like wondering where his TV was. And then I said, "I'm on my way to a show. Would you like to be my guest?" And he says, "Okay." So he comes with me to my show and I sit him at the bar and I buy him a drink. And then he leaves before I get off stage.
That has to be true.
That's true.
That is so funny.
Yeah,
he left. That is so disrespectful.
Well, he would rather Be at home.
Be in a box.
Be at home
on the street. Yeah.
I'm not making fun of the homeless.
And you're not making fun of your own talent, but you know.
No, I'm making fun of myself. You would rather not be in the comedy club.
That's hilarious. You are funny. Oh man. All right. Well, listen, you guys, let's get over to Wendy's story. By the way, I happen to know right now like 5 Wendy's. And that's not a common name.
Not really.
Do you know Wendy's?
One of my best friends is Wendy. And I know you mentioned Wendy.
Wendy Glendon Covey, yeah.
There's Wendy Malik.
Yeah, there's Wendy Hammers.
There's Wendy Hammers. There's Wendy who owns the Denver Comedy Club.
Uh-huh. Isn't that funny? There's a lot of Wendy's.
And then there's Wendy Goldstein Trilling, who works at CBS, but she spells it with an I, I think.
Yeah, so does Wendy McLennan Covey, actually.
Right.
I was down in my courtyard yesterday, and there's a new people moved in, and they have a big dog, and I said, "What's your dog's name?" I swear to God, he said Wendy. I said, "Of course it is."
What kind of dog?
It's beautiful, actually, but it's a very specific. It has a lot of fur. I'm gonna say like. Not Alaskan sled dog, but like a husky and a collie mixed together, blue eyes, or maybe one is different. But anyway, that's a Wendy right there.
Oh, I wanted to get a kitten and name it Stephen Wright.
Aww.
I just thought that would be so funny.
Oh, that's so cute. We rescued a kitten a couple weeks ago. And honestly, for any parent out there that needs a summer activity, I recommend rescuing a kitten. Your child will be set. It's been really, really sweet for my daughter. Like, she's having such a good time.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
We can't have that. My husband's allergic. Plus, our dogs would eat it.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I did a tweet about with my little kitty Olive sleeping on Judy Gold's new book. And I tweeted it.
Oh, I saw that. I liked it.
Yeah, that's her. That's the kitty. Yeah, she's so cute. She's so cute. All right, let's get over to your story. Oh, but before we do, I did want to remind you guys that the Story-Worthy Hour of Power is out there, you guys. We've done 13 shows so far. Every Sunday night, 6 o'clock Pacific time, you'll hear 5 true stories in 1 hour, and then we play Story Smash, the storytelling game show, and boy, oh boy, it's funny. It's really funny, and I got to tell you, I obviously wanted to do Story Smash as soon as this whole thing started. You know, I knew... Well, not, I mean, let's say in May, I wanted to do it, but I started trying to play it with my family and stuff, and it wasn't working. Like, it just wasn't funny. It wasn't working the way I needed to work. And turns out you need people like Blank Patch and Danny Zucker or Danny Zucker. Anyway, but now I've got it more perfected. You know, like I've got the lighting set up. I have like, look, you can see I've got like curtains in my house. Now. Like, everything's crazy. Yeah. But it's good now. So I didn't just put it out there because I didn't want people to be like, this is what you've been talking about all these years. This is what you've been, you know, blabbing about. Because I want it to be funny. I didn't want it to. My point is, it doesn't suck. That's my point.
It's great. So, it's so much fun. And it should be on TV.
I know, Wendy. It's a perfect social distancing show. It's easy to produce. Well, it's not that easy, but I know how to do it. And, you know, it's just, I feel like if I could get this to Ellen, if I could get this to Jane Lynch, if I could get it to Tiffany Haddish, I don't care who hosts it. I just want it to sell because it's brilliant.
Another coincidence. This is not my coincidence story.
Wait, is Ellen in your house?
Ellen is in the kitchen. No. So years ago, I pitched a show called Roadkill, and it was a reality show with myself and a newbie comic. And we were just going to go on the road together, myself and the veteran. And the newbie comic was Whitney Cummings.
Oh, wow.
So then she got her show, and so she fell out. And the person that we got to replace her was Tiffany Haddish.
No way.
Get so what does that mean about me?
Well, wait a minute. Well, first of all, that seems weird that they were newbies. Like, 'cause they both seem like such veterans now.
Well, now they are. This was like 15, 20 years ago. So.
All right, you guys, she's here right now. Wendy Liebman, you've heard her talking. She is obviously a comedian, and you have really done so much, Wendy. It's just so impressive. It really is. When I think about the fact that you've been on Late Show with David Letterman, you've been on Jimmy Kimmel Live, you've been on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, and the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson, and the Larry Sanders Show on HBO, and the Tonight Show, and Dr. Katz, Professional Therapist. Now, was that animated?
Yes.
And so what was that like, doing that?
It was so much fun. Yeah, I just went into a booth and recorded some of my jokes, and then he made it into a show.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's amazing.
But I know, I love Jonathan Katz too. I only met him once, but because he lives still in Boston, I think, doesn't he?
Yeah, in Newton.
Yeah. But did you have a script?
I think there was a script, but they didn't have my jokes in there. They had, this is my memory. It was in the 80s when I did it.
Yeah.
So,
that must have been adorable.
You know what? I think I had given them my jokes and they wanted me to record those. And then there was a script.
There you go.
So the best part was that they included my mother. I mean, they talked about my mother.
That's hilarious. Did you get any of the cells? Is that what you call it? Like a cell?
I have two cells from it.
Is that so great? Are they hanging up?
No, I mean, I don't have them. I have them in my stored photos. So yeah, I'll post one.
You should. I would
Very
think
cool.
That's a really cool avatar also.
Yeah. Although I have short hair, so it's not very flattering.
Speaking of which, your hair is so long right now. You have pandemic hair. It is beautiful.
You know, my husband cut his own hair, and I've been trying to get an appointment with him. It's really graying at this point. So
it's beautiful.
Thank you so much. I literally am in the process of writing to L'Oreal because a friend from high school actually knows somebody who works there, and I want them to sponsor. I've been doing daily updates since the pandemic started, and I want them to sponsor them.
That's
because that's
hilarious.
The comment I get the most. I get the most comments about my hair.
Now, are you Instagramming that, or is that a tweet? What is that?
I Instagram it and Facebook it, and I've been doing. I'm up to day 140. Today will be 147.
Wow!
And I started it. Well, it's like a minute each day. I started off, it was a little longer, and then now it's down to a minute, and I do like yesterday I said, I was in a car accident. I don't know if you know that. So I was hit by a car a couple of years ago, and I can never wear high heels again because of my feet. And not that I wore them anyway.
I just
can't wear high heels. So I own about three pair of shoes that I can wear. So I was thinking about all the shoes in my life. I've never been a shoe whore, but I once had like 25 pair of shoes. And one day I saw a pair of shoes on somebody and I thought, I want those. This was about 20 years ago. I want those. And then I realized I already had them. I just forgot about them. And so my message for the day was, sometimes you already have what you want.
Oh, that is so sweet. I love that.
So L'Oreal, I'm trying to get L'Oreal to sponsor my daily.
That is a great example of how comedians have ingenuity where they think outside the box, and you've created this since the pandemic. That's what I mean. That is fabulous. I'm mad that I haven't seen it.
Well, it kept me sane.
Yeah.
It kept me sane because my life is about creating community, and I felt so distant. And so I thought, how can I still keep a little community? So I have some fans.
I am so excited. Now I have that to look forward to.
You have 147 to look.
Yeah. If you're on Facebook, head over to Wendy Liebman, find her on Facebook, and then also at your Twitter account. And Instagram.
Yeah.
And is that at Wendy Liebman?
Yeah.
Right. And of course, you're at wendyliebman.com. People can go over there and click through anything, of course. Yeah.
Yes.
Then you also, not to go through all your accolades, because I know you know them, but for the audience, You were also on season 9 of America's Got Talent. And what I love about that story is that I think at one point you got kicked off, but Howard Stern, coincidence, who I love more than anybody, he got you back on.
Oh my God. Well,
how'd that happen? What happened?
So, well, I didn't make it to the next round, but he had a wild card pick and I was his wild card pick. And, you know, I love him too. Honestly, can I tell you the truth?
What?
I never met him.
Wow.
I got to see him from the stage. I got to perform in front of him a couple of times, but I never met him. And I regret that so much because I just wanted to shake his hand. I think he's so funny.
But listen, I honestly think that he would talk to you right now on air. I don't think there's any reason why he wouldn't talk to you because he's, you know, he's still doing his show. He takes off a lot of time now, but he's at least on air live like 3-4 times a week. He takes off time, but still he's on there and he has been talking to different people, different celebrities, and he has been checking in. I think there's no reason why he wouldn't talk to you.
You sound like my mother.
No, I think he would. I do. And I think the key there is you get a hold of Gary, right? Is that how it goes? You
got to get a hold of Gary.
I know. It's funny. It's funny. Entertainment in one respect is a very small community. And then on the other hand, it's like, I can't get Story Smash to Ellen, but why not? She lives right down the street from the Improv. Like, and she'd love it. And I know her brother, but like, in other words, like, it's just some things that just, it's hard to make it fit. I don't know.
Well, I feel like through Twitter, there are ways that you can connect with people that you wouldn't normally connect with. So, yeah. You know, they say everybody is 6 degrees of separation, but I think in Hollywood, it's more like 1.5. So
yeah.
I think you should be able to get it to Jane Lynch.
I'm going to try. And I want you to go on Stern.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to figure that out for you.
I'll figure out Jane Lynch.
You do that. I'll figure out Stern.
Okay.
You also had a Showtime special, Wendy Liebman-Toller on TV. That is very funny. You do look about 5'6", 5'7", but tell me, how tall are you?
I'm 5'1".
Unbelievable. Yeah. You don't look 5'1". You look so much taller.
And why? Because that's what everybody says to me after I come off stage. Like they go, you look so much taller on stage or on TV. And I guess it's about, I don't know. I have a big mouth. Maybe that's what it is. But I shot that for my 50th birthday. I decided I was going to do that for myself. So I rented a theater. I invited all of my friends and we shot it independently. And then my husband and John Landis, who produced it, sold it to Showtime. So
that is unbelievable.
The best part is that my mother and father were in it. My mother played the drums.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. I've got to see that.
And my dad, I had his, he has like a barbershop quartet and they sang this song.
Oh, were they good? I bet they were good.
They're so good.
Adorable. That is so sweet. One time at the Improv, you're probably not going to remember this, but.
Oh no.
I went up to you and your husband because you were there for Story Smash and, you know, we're going to start and I need to go up and I need to tell you to, you know, I need you now, you know, because we're going to go to the stage area. And I said, between you and your husband, I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I need to take Wendy now. And you said, it's all right. I see him too much anyway. Right in front of him. And I laughed so hard. And he just looks at me like, you know, I'm married to a comedian. I know. Like,
Now, forget about it. Like, we really have been quarantined because he has pre-existing conditions. And he even makes me wear a mask to bed.
And that is not true.
It's of Jennifer Aniston.
That's so funny. This Halloween, everybody will be in masks.
Oh my God. It would, you know, the other day I couldn't smell or taste my food and they say that's a sign of COVID. And then I took off my mask. So I'm just trying to do jokes for you. I have mask envy, Christine.
You do?
I do. I see other people in these beautiful floral paisley masks. I'm like, I want one of those. I just have the blue thing.
I know, right? And now I know I just look like I'm going to the surgery at all times. But people have these really cool clear ones that are like formed to their face, like like sexy, like a sexy mask. And it kind of goes like that and then around. And it's all see-through. So now it's like, oh my God, I see you're chewing food. Or, you know, like it's,
now I'm even more jealous.
There's a lot of stuff going on out there, man.
Well, the worst thing that has happened to me during the pandemic is I developed something called Amazonnesia. And that is when you forget that you ordered a lot of stuff in the middle of the night. Because I will get a box. I'm like, what is this? And yesterday I got this big box of, it was like 16 books about minimalism. I'm trying to make you laugh.
You are so flipping quick. You are so quick. No, it's true though. The Amazon thing. And what happens with me is I misorder things by accident, obviously by accident. So like instead of getting 20 peppermint patties for my daughter's birthday party gift bags, I got 200 peppermint patties.
Oh no.
That was one of the better mistakes. That was not a bad mistake at all, actually.
Right.
But I've done other things where I order an extension cord, 35 extension cords. I don't know if I'm putting in the tax or the a number. Is it like the code on the back of the card or is it the amount of batteries I need? You know, so
I know one time I sent for my husband's birthday, I wanted to have like bagels and lox, have them sent from like a good deli
in
New York. And at one point I changed the kind of bagel and they sent both orders. So I got like 80 bagels.
Yeah. One time my oldest sister, Karen, or she's not my oldest, but the point is I have four sisters. She's always trying to lose weight. And one time she was on that deal-a-meal thing with Richard Simmons.
Yeah.
And by the way, I met him once and I told him the story. He loved it. So my sister orders the deal-a-meal card set. It doesn't come. So she calls and then they said, we'll send more. But then they both come. Now she's playing with two decks. the diet is not working.
Double the food. My funniest misordering was for Christmas one year. I'm Jewish, but I like to send out Christmas cards. So I would send, one time I was going to send little packages of beads, like pretty beads. I don't know. It's just something funky. Like one time I sent out evergreen seeds, you know, something like that. Okay. So I didn't know how big a packet I want. So I ordered like these plastic bags. And I kept getting these bigger ones, and then I would go back and get smaller ones. And they must have thought I was a drug
dealer. They think you're dealing with weed because of the size. I know, I get it. I was one of my jokes I've been doing. Like, wait a ruin a goddamn joke. But here we go anyway. Is I've been talking about how now I have to homeschool, you know, and I just got stuck in math back in fourth grade, like. The only reason why I know anything about fractions is when I go to the weed store, you know, because I need a quarter of this, I need a half that. And my daughter's like, Mommy, what's 7/16 minus 2/8? And I'm like, Alabama, they don't even sell weed by the 16th. So I don't know.
That's so funny. Yeah.
Anyway.
I've been homeschooling my inner child and trying to keep her 6 feet away from my imaginary friend. It's very challenging.
And then this summer I became a camp counselor. It's just seamless.
Seamless. My heart goes out to all the mothers and all the parents who have to homeschool their
children.
But
my recommendation, get a kitten, get a puppy, get something they can take care of and they'll be out of your way.
Amazing.
You're welcome, America. And also my fans in Saudi Arabia. I have fans in Saudi Arabia. Isn't that awesome? And in Korea.
That's great.
I know. Who knew? Whatever.
That's great.
I think some people, though, listen to my show to learn English because it's conversational.
Whatever the reason.
Oh, man, whatever. I'll take it. Bring your friends. Bring your enemies. Everyone is welcome. All right, you guys. Find Wendy over at her website, wendyliebman.com. Wherever you are, folks, put your hands together for the fabulous, the legend, Wendy Liebman.
I do have so many coincidences in my life. Like the one time I flew back on Southwest where you can sit down next to anybody. And I sat next to this guy who I thought would never talk to me because he was full of tattoos. And anyway, he talked to me the whole hour and it was nice. And then at the end, I said, look, I'm going to run off the plane because I'm going to my friend's mother's memorial service. So, and I have to get there. And so we exchanged information. And when I looked him up on Facebook, I saw we had one friend in common, and it was that friend that I was running to his mother's memorial. So that's,
are you serious?
All of these are true. These are all true.
That is wild. That is
so
wild.
So here's my biggest coincidence story, I think. So I've been going to a therapist on and off for 20 years. And throughout that time, I've talked about camp. And I went to a camp, Tri-Woody. That's the name of the camp. My parents actually sent me to a camp called Tri-Woody. And it was in Hyde Park, New York. And I went there for 3 summers. And it was one of these really cool camps. And it was in Hyde Park, and I went there for just very free.
I almost drowned in a canoe.
Yeah, so I went to Camp Tri-Woody, and it wasn't like this
rushing
big thing in my life. Like it wasn't. I didn't have my rosebud moment there or anything. But I would talk to my therapist. I'll call her. Dr. B.
Christine, who knows?
So I would talk to her about it occasionally.
I felt like I was.
And one of the stories I told her was that I almost drowned on a canoe trip at Camp Tri-Woody because the water was rushing. There was like a flood in the water. It should have taken us a day to get down this river, but it took us an hour. And the boat I was in capsized.
Oh, God.
So, but I had to be in that boat. I was originally in a guy named Adam's boat, but I had a crush on this guy named Steve, and I wanted to be in Steve's boat. So the counselor put me in Steve's boat, and sure enough, we capsized. And who saved me but Adam? He came to my rescue. Okay. So years later, I know this is convoluted.
No, but real quick, did you have a life vest on?
I did have a life vest on, and I was clinging. It was like the water was rushing. It was like rapids, and I was like clinging to a branch. And Christine, who knows? I might not have really drowned, but I felt like I was going to drown because I was all by myself. And Steve was like, he couldn't care less. Years later, I'm living in LA, and somebody mentions that I should read the philosopher named Wittgenstein. I studied philosophy in college. I still don't know why. But I was too lazy to read about Wittgenstein, but I thought, I'm going to Google Wittgenstein and ask some professors to explain it to me. So I found this guy. His name was Steve. It was the same name as the guy in the boat. So I wrote to him. I said, can you explain Wittgenstein to me? And by the way, did you go to Camp Tri-Woody in 1976? So he writes back and he goes, this is Wittgenstein, blah, blah, blah. I still don't understand it. It's too lofty. And then he goes, yes, I went to Camp Tri-Woody, but I don't remember you. So I was like drowning all over again. So, okay. So that was one of the stories I told my therapist, Dr. B. And then another story that I told her was, I was thinking about this kid that I was in the plays with. I was always in the plays. I was Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz at camp. And I was Eliza in My Fair Lady. And this kid was in the Wizard of Oz with me. So I'm like, whatever happened to him? So I looked him up on Google and I found this guy and it looked like him older. And I wrote to him and I go, just by the way, did you go to Camp Tri-Woody in 1976? And he wrote back, yes, but I don't remember you.
Oh, my God.
But you're my favorite comedian.
Oh, that is so sweet.
He said, every time you were on TV, my boyfriend would yell from the next room, that comedian's on TV. And he said, I always felt connected to you. And I'm like, that's because we were in the fucking play together. Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Of course.
So I'm telling my therapist about this for years. Occasionally I'll talk about Camp Trevity. And she's the type of therapist who, if I say, do you have kids? She would say, do you want to know if I have kids? Or do you want to talk about why you want to know if I have kids? She's that kind of therapist.
Like, I hate that. I hate that. It's like all I said was, how's your day?
I'm used to it, like, though. I'm used to it now. So I go, did you ever go to camp? And she goes, do you want to know if I went to camp? Or do you want to talk about why you want to know if I went to camp? And I go, no, I really want to know. Did you go to camp? And she looks down and she looks up and she goes, I went to Camp Tri-Woody. So
I can't take it. No.
I know. So, okay. It goes on a little bit. It goes on. So she was a little older than I am. And
she never said that.
No.
All those years you talked about it.
And that's why I'm not a therapist. I was planning to be a therapist. That's what I went to school for. But because I would have yelled out, I went to Camp Tri-Woody. So all those years, she didn't say anything about it. I mean,
because she also could have said, like, I remember you. You were fabulous in all those plays. Or said something right there, and your therapy could have been over.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? You could have felt validated.
Right. Well, we weren't there at the same time. So then another session, I went to one other camp. It was a day camp, and it was for arts. And I was in the theater program and in the dance program because that's what I love to do. And it was called Camp Usedan. And I go, don't tell me you went to Camp Usedan too. And she looks down, she looks up, she goes, I went to Camp Usedan. So I don't know what it all means.
Wow.
But
that's unbelievable. Those camps are outside of Boston?
New York, because I grew up on Long Island. Yeah.
Right. There's so many camps back there, right? Doesn't it seem like, I guess there are camps everywhere, but back there it seemed like there's so many camps in New York and Pennsylvania.
And also Maine. Like, I went to another camp in Maine. I didn't ask her about the third one. I don't want to know.
So that guy, Steve, the canoe thing, did you say to him, do you remember we were in the boat together? It capsized. You blew me off and Adam saved me. Did you tell him?
I didn't tell him that. But honestly, and this is another coincidence that I just remembered, the day after I discovered that Steve was the Wittgenstein scholar and that he didn't remember me, I performed in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I got a message that Adam, whom I hadn't talked to since 1976, sent me a note there because he lives in Raleigh.
Did he go to the show?
He couldn't go.
Darn it.
But isn't that weird too?
Holy,
like, out of the blue, he wouldn't have known.
It's unbelievable. Right.
So either I'm more aware of things and therefore things get more connected, or I don't know. It's just so bizarre.
Yeah. Do you believe in that, like, the horoscope thing, and then people do like the numbers thing and numerology? So it's either what would it be? Not the horoscope thing is called what?
Astrology.
Astrology. Astrology or numerology. Do you buy that?
I believe in all of that when it applies.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
Well, they did a study once where they gave everybody the same horoscope and everybody said, oh, this is me. It was like a college class. But
that's super
funny.
You
know what? I didn't believe in that until I was in Seattle once, and my friend and I were at a restaurant called the Gravity Bar, and this woman walked around. She said, do you want your palms read for $10? And we were like, sure. So she read my friend's palm, and she said, you're a teacher. You have no children in your life, but you're a teacher. And my friend was like, no, I work for Reuters. I'm in corporate America. my mother's a teacher, my aunt. Meanwhile, she became a teacher and she taught other people, and she has no children of her own now, and we're 59. And she told me I was going to be rich and famous. She said I have three forms of creativity. And I'm like, well, which one was supposed to make me rich?
Hey, but Wendy, you have played massive audiences because you've played like in Vegas, right? At Caesar's Palace, some of those huge rooms.
Yeah.
Do you know what the number is, the most people or the biggest house you've ever played for?
I got to open for Bob Hope in Indiana, and it was 5,000 people. And I also got to open for Richard Marx in the early 90s at the Greek Theater, wow. And that was 5,000
people. Oh, God.
So, but I've opened for like Ray Charles. This is all, I feel like I'm making up my life when I say this. Ray Charles, yeah. Anne Margaret, Julio Iglesias, Neil Sedaka, wow. Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons, Tanya Tucker.
Well, back then it did seem like there were a lot more comedians that opened for singers. You know,
yes.
That was like Cher would take a comic on the road with her, or I'm trying to think of a couple other examples. Well, like I just had Tom Dreesen on the show and he worked with Sinatra for 14 years.
Oh, yeah.
So that was like, and Tom Dreesen was so funny because he's like, Christine, let me tell you something. I want you to go out there in front of 20,000 people with just a microphone, no props, no tricks, no band, no sidekick, nothing, just you. And I want you to entertain those people for 20 minutes. And I want you to also make them laugh. I want you to make them laugh. And I want you to make them laugh when you want them to make them laugh. I want you to orchestrate this crowd and do this, this, and this, and this. And then he goes, oh, and also, by the way, Christine, nobody there came to see you.
Well, I felt that the most with Julio Iglesias because his audience, a lot of them didn't speak English. So that was challenging.
A challenge. Now, opening for Richard Marx at the Greek, was that like a super special night?
It was surreal. And because it was the biggest audience that I had performed for to date. And now I follow him on Twitter and I just love his tweets.
He's so great. Yeah, you're so great on Twitter.
Thank
you. Are whip smart,
whip
fast. I can't get over your tweets. I mean, you don't stop. It is like a machine is coming out. You're like Blanka Patch. It's just like three or four an hour and they're all zingers.
Well, I've been going through old notebooks. That's what I'm doing during the pandemic. And so I'm finding old jokes. Yeah.
Thank you.
These are not-
I'm so glad you said that. Because otherwise I'm thinking like, man, this girl is flipping wild, man. But I think that is such a smart idea. And it is funny as comedians have, and I haven't done comedy. I don't have any sort of the career you have, but even me, the comedy I've done, there's just notebooks like this. You know, there's just notebooks all over.
Oh, all I
over
know,
house.
All over my house. So all I have house. Six Look. Boxes of them, and that's what I'm doing these days.
You know Lori Kilmartin and Jackie Cation.
I love that.
Amazing. Here's their sticker. I love that.
Literally, it's about the stage time. It's true. That's what I tell comics who ask me, you know, people who are starting. I go, get on stage as much as humanly possible, because there's nothing that replaces the experience.
And so like now during the pandemic, are you going to any, you've done Zoom shows like this, of course, podcasts, but have you done anything like the hard work, like in terms of like open mics? Because now people are truly, you can go to an open mic right now. Like, of course now, because we're around the world, right? So everybody, like you can type in open mics and there are 100 this hour.
Really?
They're happening. Well, maybe not 100, but you know what I'm saying? Like it's constant. There's an open mic every hour somewhere because it's because you can be on stage in Florida. You know what I mean? It's the whole world. And so it's also kind of cool because you can be very, not you, but me, I can be super unknown. Nobody knows who I am. I don't know those people. And so the jokes are new for them, but it's nice. You can kind of hone your skills. You'd have to wear your mask because they would recognize you. But you might be able to, you know,
no,
sneak
just put
on.
My hair up and makeup on.
Yeah, but your
mustache.
Voice is very recognizable.
But I'll go by my married name.
There you go. What is your married name?
Wendy Sherman.
I don't think I knew that.
My husband's Jeff Sherman.
Yeah, and he's a producer.
Yes, he was one of the producer writers on Boy Meets World, and he also
And he's from that Sherman family.
Yes, his dad and uncle are the Sherman brothers who wrote a lot of the music for Disney. And so one day he came home from school and his dad said, "What did you do at school today?" And he said, "I took a vaccine." And he said, they gave you a shot?" And he said, "No, they put the medicine on a spoon, they put some sugar in it, and we ate that. And my father-in-law wrote, 'Spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.'"
Oh my God, is that true?
That's a great story.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh my God.
I know. I know.
Your uncle did that.
My father-in-law.
Your father-in-law wrote, your husband's dad wrote, he's the one that said, "A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down." The medicine go down.
They wrote the music for Mary Poppins.
That's unbelievable. That is really.
That's a great story,
that's
right?
That's a great story. That's almost like a, it's almost like a fable.
Yeah. I mean, when I met my husband, I heard that his father and uncle wrote the music for Mary Poppins. I'm like, aren't they British? And wasn't that 150 years ago?
Have you ever met Dick Van Dyke?
I have. He's my hall pass.
What's that mean?
Oh,
your husband.
with my husband. My husband would let me marry Dick Van Dyke.
I love him.
Oh, my God.
I was
God.
Just thinking about Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. That just came to my mind.
They wrote that, too. Oh. They wrote that music, too.
Wow.
I know.
That's unbelievable.
And Jungle Book. And the song "It's a Small World."
Are you serious? Your father-in-law and his brother.
Yeah, and his brother.
That's stunning. And does your husband play any instruments?
My husband is the best musician I know and composer. I love his music so much. I know. I want the world to know it too because he's phenomenal. He's been writing a lot this pandemic. Yeah.
Well, so. Did you ever bring him on stage with you?
He's so shy that he would just pee in his pants, he said.
But what if nobody introduces him? He just goes up, takes a seat, and starts playing the piano. And it's like a background thing before the show starts. And then they say, "Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be Wendy Liebemoy up in 2 minutes. Take your seat, find or get your drink, and then..." And then he just plays it out. You know what I mean? Like nobody says.
You and I are a breed. Not everybody likes to perform. But my stepson, my husband's son from his previous marriage, he does that at Locally Grown. He will play 3 songs before my show. He's amazing. Alex Sherman.
I think that's brilliant. I think that's so, so sweet. Wow. That's amazing.
Are you musical?
Yeah, I am. I have a piano, and I play guitar, some ukulele, but mainly guitar. Yeah, I love to play.
Do you ever bring the ukulele on stage?
You know what? Last week, right? During the Storyworthy Hour of Power, every Sunday night at 6 p.m. Pacific time, just for fun, I brought out my ukulele and I played a song during the show, right? And I did this little the song from that movie about the baseball players. The point is, then I take that show and I always put it on YouTube, right? So the story where the hour of power is on YouTube, you guys. And when I saw myself do that, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? And I cut that out so fast.
You did cut it out?
Yeah. I am not a musician. I mean, I am.
Yeah, but you shouldn't have cut it out because, you know, I lay in bed for 9 months with my broken bones.
Yeah.
And I thought, when I am done with this, I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing on stage. And so my second show back was at Vitello's. I headlined and I sang 4 songs.
Oh, my God. What did you sing?
In my comedy. I sang, and I had an accompanist who could really sing. But I sang Help. Because there's a lyric that goes, "Help me get my feet back on the ground."
Yeah.
I sang Twisted, which Joni Mitchell covered. It's about therapy. Mm-hmm. I sang to my husband, I sang In My Life because I wanted to thank him for taking care of me for 9 months. That was my initial reason for singing at all. And then I had the audience sing with me with a little help from my friends. So it was kind of like a Beatles night. But I thought, you know what? I'm almost 60. I could be hit by a car tomorrow. And why not? Why not?
That's so beautiful. I'm so glad you did that.
And I'm writing a musical.
Wow. What's the musical about? Car accidents?
No, it's about three stand-up comedians in Vegas over Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's great. Oh, I'm so excited. And obviously this is going to come from some of your experiences.
And yeah, I'm not going to be in it or anything. I'm writing it for other people. Yes.
The idea is that these comics were in a hotel and they're stuck together and they're eating together, they're performing together, and somebody's sleeping with somebody.
Well, it's about their separate lives, actually. And, and I wrote some of the music, which I'm not really, I mean, I play the piano, but I'm not, I can't read notes. I read guitar chords.
Yeah.
Can you read notes?
I do that too. No, well, I can, but I primarily just translate guitar. That's exactly
right. That's what I've always done since I was eight. And but I wrote these melodies, but I don't know where they came from. Like, it was, I guess it's kind of like jokes. Sometimes I will just, a joke will come to my head and I'll go, I don't remember thinking that. And it's kind of like with the music.
So. That is true creativity. Really? People say that that's like going down to the well and then something comes up. That is beautiful. I am so happy you're doing that.
Thank you.
And I have to address these car accidents. God damn. First, you and your husband got hit by a drunk driver 2014, right?
Yes.
And then 2018, you're a pedestrian and you got hit by a car.
I did. And
crushing. And that's the one where your husband really had to take care of you because you broke your feet.
Yeah. When we were hit by the drunk driver, the only thing that suffered was the car and our psyches, because we did see a woman die. And it could have been me. Like, she was in the next car. And so that was like, I'm 6 feet away from this. So, but when I was hit, I couldn't walk. And then it was complicated because when they put the rod in my leg, not to be so graphic, but they put it on wrong. So my feet was, one of my feet was sticking out. So they had to re-break the leg and rotate the bone. So it was a long, long time.
And this is an orthopedic surgeon does this?
Yeah. I mean, it was the best hot. It was UCLA. It was just one of those things. My leg was so messed up that it was undetectable.
Oh,
my God. So it wasn't discovered until it was healed.
When you got hit by the vehicle, I mean, what was the first moments then after that happened? You fell, you're on the ground. Did you pass out?
My first thought was, did any of my teeth fall out?
I would think that.
And I passed out in the ambulance and I woke up and I didn't know where I was, but I knew I wasn't at home because I heard somebody vacuuming. And...
such an idiot. I go to thinking like, why are they vacuuming in a hospital? You're so good. Oh my God.
It was just, and it was the day of the fire near our house. So we were evacuated that night. I was in the hospital, but my husband he came to stay with me because we were evacuated, but not to harp on that too much.
No, but it's just so crushing. And then did somebody say to you, hey, Wendy, you're not going to be able to walk for a while? Or what did they say?
Like, what I was supposed to open for Bill Maher. This was in November, and I was supposed to open for Bill Maher at the end of December. And I thought, in Hawaii over New Year's. And I thought, So we went to the doctor, and he was like, I wouldn't fly. I wouldn't fly because I guess blood clotting is just too dangerous. So that was crushing. And Bill said that I could perform on crutches or in a wheelchair or whatever, but I just couldn't make the flight. So that was disappointing. And then in, I guess it was February, they decided my foot was on wrong. I knew it was on wrong.
Oh my God. That is so fucking horrible. I mean, is somebody at fault there? Is that, or you sign that away? I mean, what, that just makes me so angry.
Well, the whole thing, I won the court case.
Oh, good. Against the hospital?
I didn't sue the hospital.
Oh, okay. No, against who? Against the drunk driver. I mean, the person who hit you.
Yeah.
Were they drunk or not?
No.
What were they doing? Texting?
No. I just think it was one of those things. They just didn't see me. I had no idea they were coming. And
what time of day was it? Was it night?
It was right before 1 p.m. I was meeting a friend for lunch.
It's so sad when you hear that, because then everything changes in a moment. Just like
right.
that.
Right, just changed. Oh. But you know what, Christine? There was a man there named Danny who sat with me and coddled me, and I kept talking to him so I wouldn't pass out. And he was just a good Samaritan. And I am so grateful for him. And, you know, my case just closed. So I'm going to reach out to him and thank him. But I haven't been, you know, I haven't been able to talk to him. But he was my witness. And he, thank God for Danny. So.
I thought for a second there you were going to say, and it was Steve. And he admitted that he left me in that canoe and he just didn't care. And luckily Adam came along in the ambulance. And then Adam.
I know. I think coincidences are clues. I don't know what they're clues to, but maybe just to pay more attention.
Well, you are such a beautiful person. I'm telling you, thank you so much. This is
a
blast.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I want you to come on the Story Worthy Hour of Power thing too, and then do the judge with Danny and Blaine.
Oh, I would love that so much. And I'm going to get to Jane Lynch for you.
I'd kill for that. And I'm going to find Howard Stern. Okay. By the way, his book is unbelievable. Did you read it? Howard Stern Comes Again. Yeah, Howard Stern Comes Again. The one, it's all his interviews. Get that book. It is amazing. It's just... wow. It's a stellar book. It's great. It came out in the spring, I think, or maybe even a year ago. But anyway, read that. That's a good one.
Well, when I was on America's Got Talent, I met Rachel Butera, who does a lot of the voiceovers. And
she's on the Story Worthy Hour of Power tomorrow night.
Oh, she's...
coincidence!
She's the best! I love her!
So do I. So do I.
I love her. She has to be uber famous one day.
I would like to think. I hope so, too. She's very talented, Rachel Butera, very talented. So I'm sorry. So what were you going to say then on America's Got Talent? That was the one she was on? Or
well, that's when I met her. I met her, and we've been friends ever since.
Is that how she got on Howard's show then, is from America's Got Talent? That's where he saw her first?
She had been on his show before, and she disclosed that. And I had known Howie Mandel before, so we disclosed that. So there was no bias. But Rachel is just one of the funniest people. Follow her on Facebook. She's just one of the funniest people I've ever met.
Her impressions are just like crazy. Flawless. Yeah. But you, Wendy Liebman, thank you so much.
Thank
I really
you,
do appreciate
Christine,
it.
Christine. And I'd love to be on Story Smash.
All right, you guys, we're going to wrap it up. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. I really appreciate it. Don't forget to head over to storyworthypodcast.com and get your tickets for the Story Worthy Hour of Power every Sunday night at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And there's always a free option. Don't forget that. And follow me on the social media, would you? At Story Worthy. And of course, follow Wendy Liebman over there on Twitter. She's flipping hilarious. And that's at Wendy Liebman. She's so funny, you guys, honestly. That's the thing with Twitter. You got to follow the right people. But once you follow the right people, it is such a treat, because it's like you're hearing only the funny you want, only the news you want. I mean, I love Twitter. That's my favorite. Danny Zucker is really funny. Matt Oswalt, out of control. He's the funniest guy.
Eden Dranger is hilarious. Blaine Kapach.
Right, you were on Story Smash.
I did the show with him. did your show with him. That's where I met him. And Maria Alexander and Spencer Robinson are also great.
Okay, I don't know them. Oh, good. I'll find that. All right, you guys, one more time on behalf of Wendy Liebman. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.